All right. Great job, you guys. What a blessing. And as I mentioned, it is such a blessing to just gather together and to sing and to look in the Word of God and then to pray with those men. All right. We'll take our Bibles. I want you to turn to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 17. And we read some verses earlier in regard to the Word of God out of Psalm 119. And I'm going to talk today about our approach to the Word of God. And we're going to take a look at a particular church here in Acts chapter 17. Take a look here at verses 10 through 14. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. And those passages read, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still." So what we have here in Acts chapter 17 is this second missionary journey. This is when, back a chapter, the disciples, the apostle Paul and Silas and Timotheus, they were redirected to go through Troas, and then the Lord gave Paul the vision, that Macedonian vision. And so he responded to that Macedonian call. They went up through Macedonia, up through the Aegean Sea, and God blessed it. You know, they had opportunities. If you read Acts chapter 16 and what took place there in Philippi, and how Lydia got saved. There was that woman that was possessed with the devil, and they had to deal with that. They got thrown into the prison. Some great things took place, and but they were certainly persecuted. They obviously being thrown in the prison, but what God did there in His work and creating that earthquake and the jailer getting saved, the jailer's family getting saved, a church getting started. And so from there, they head over to Berea. And we read about here in Berea that they go there, and there's this another opportunity before them. And the Apostle Paul is going to preach. The Apostle Paul is going to do what he was just always stirred to do, and it was always part of his routine, not a routine in a mechanical way, but I mean his heart was in it, and that was to go into the synagogue, because the Apostle Paul, he loved his brethren, the Jews. He was a Jew, and though he was the apostle to the Gentiles, I mean, he was always trying to reach the Jews for Christ, and certainly he knew over time that the writing was on the wall, that the Jews, for the most part, really had rejected it. Not that no Jews got saved. There were certainly some that got saved, but the nation of Israel had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul went through that open door, which was to the Gentiles. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on Wednesday night, and then again this past Wednesday night in regard to the Word of God. A few weeks ago, I spoke on memorization, Bible memorization. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." It's so important for us to take the Word of God, to hide it into our hearts. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, I think it's verse 16, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." We're to have the Word of Christ in our hearts. We're not to take that lightly. I know some people say, "Well, I'm just not good at memorizing." Well, I know it's not easy for some. Sometimes it's easier for others. Little kids usually are great at memorizing verses. Boy, you get around and Awana, and we did Awana at Treasure Valley Baptist, and then we also did the Master Club. And Master Club, again, there's just a lot of memorizing of verses, and boy, some of these kids they'd come with 50 or more verses and ready to just roll them right off, and they did them word perfect. It was just amazing. And so memorization, though it might be hard for some, it's something that we want to do. It's something that we want to make the effort to do. And it's good. And a couple weeks ago, I gave out a list of verses. I don't have them on the foyer table. I need to just get them out there. But every month, I'm going to put those out. This last month for July is the theme of redeem or redemption. being redeemed again by the blood of Christ. So we have some verses on redemption, and I've just encouraged the people on Wednesday night, but I'm encouraging you as well to take the word of God and hide it in your heart. Those verses are meant to just kind of cut off or cut out and glue them to something where, and then put them somewhere where you're going to see it all the time. Again, I've got it on my dashboard, and I see that verse all day long every time I'm driving. Not while I'm driving. I don't want you to be nervous. But when I come to a stop sign, I'll look at it and I'll read it, and it just sticks. Because if you do it enough, it's just there. And so it's just a blessed exercise. So I want to encourage you to do that. Then on Wednesday night, I talked about even going beyond memorizing it, and that is to meditate upon it. And the psalmist, we read one of those verses, how the psalmist said, I will meditate on thy word, on thy precepts, on thy testimonies. And it's important to meditate upon it, to think about it, to think of the wonderful truths that are in that verse, the wonderful riches that are in that verse. And then it begins to just go from the head. We don't want it to just sit in the head only. It needs to get into our hearts, doesn't it? And it needs to affect us and really get a hold of us. And the Spirit of God can really do some great things through His Word. So we see that here. We're going to see a church that responded to the Word of God. We just read that, how they listened to the Apostle Paul, and they responded in a great way. And I want to bring forth what we see here with this Berean church in regard to the Word of God and their approach to the Word of God, which should be our approach to the Word of God. So with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today. We're so grateful to you. Thank you again for just a beautiful day. We thank you for the warm weather. Lord, we just thank you that you've given to us so many things. Above all things is the fact that you've given to us eternal life, and that we know that we're saved, those of us that have trusted Christ for salvation. None of us certainly deserved it. Lord, we deserved hell. But we're not going there. We're going to heaven because of what you've done for us, because of the fact that you shed your precious blood on a cross for us. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And so, Father, we just look to you this morning. We commit this service to you. Lord, we know that you have all of this in your hands. It's beyond us. I don't know what's represented here this morning. There are certainly a number of needs here today. There are no doubt some people going through maybe some tough times right now. Maybe there's some physically, maybe there's some health issues on the table. Maybe there's financial issues that are going on, or some relationship issues. You know it, Lord. Maybe there's just some people that are just discouraged. And so, Lord, we just commit it to you. You know, again, what's going on in every heart. There may be somebody here who doesn't know Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would address each situation as only you can. And so we invite you, Lord. We want you to be here in our presence. We want you to be in our midst. The last thing that we ever want, Lord, is to shut you out and to just go forth in a program. It might be as polished as anything, but if you're not in the midst of it, then we're just meeting in vain, and we don't want to do that. So we want you to be here, and we want you to do what you're pleased to do. And I don't want to get in your way. So I pray that you'd use me, fill me with your Spirit. And again, may the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. We ask all this in his wonderful name. Amen. Well, we're going to take a look at, we know what the three basic R's are, right? Reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? We know those from years past. Well, we're going to take a look at the three R's here that was true about this church in the Berean church. And again, they were here just shortly. I mean, the disciples preached, they gave the word of God, and before you know it, the angry mob of Jews had figured out where he was. And so they come to find that Paul, and Silas certainly too, but Paul, the ringleader, they looked at as Paul. And they wanted to get their hands on him. And the disciples were like very protective of Paul. Paul, you need to go. This mob is coming. They mean business. And they just headed him off to the next town. And that's kind of how it was going here as you look in this second missionary journey here in these chapters here in the book of Acts. I know one thing. I know Paul wasn't. Paul was like, no, I want to stay. I can withstand. Listen, I stayed in Lystra where they stoned me, and after they stoned me, I went right back in to confirm and strengthen the disciples. I'm sure he didn't say that. He wasn't a boastful man, but he was Paul, and Paul was like, no, I'm not going to run away. But they would just, no doubt, they were insistent, Paul, we can't afford to lose you. You go to the next town. We'll catch up with you. And so that's what took place over and over again. So here he comes to Berea. And he preaches, of course, in the synagogue. And then we see that there were those who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we see, first of all, is we see something about these folks, some great qualities in regard to how they listened to the word of God and then how they responded. And the first thing that we see is there was a receptive heart. A receptive heart. It's so important for us to develop a receptive heart to the word of God. Amen? Don't you think so? Certainly. I know, you know, I like to tease you because, you know, we're quieter and all of that. But, and I know you're on board with me. But sometimes I just like to hear it because, like I've said before, I'm kind of insecure, right? You know, insecure. No, but it's just good to hear that. It's just good to know that, yes, we have to have a receptive heart to the things of God. And, you know, that's what we saw, just as we saw in Thessalonica. I mean, they had received the word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Thessalonian church, and I preached about them just a few weeks ago in contrast to the Corinthian church, how the Thessalonians, they were, you know, just way ahead of so many of the other churches because one of the things that they had done was receive the word of God. It says this about them in chapter 2 and verse 13 about that church. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When we believe it's the word of God, as the Thessalonian church did, it just begins to really flourish, and it begins to grow. The Lord Jesus spoke about that when he taught about the parable of the seed and the sower and the seed, and how when the seed gets into good ground, good fertile ground, it flourishes and it grows like crazy. That's the kind of heart that we want to have with the Lord, that our hearts would be fertile, that they would be expecting and just allowing God to do his work in our hearts. All of those other soils had, you know, they were contaminated in some form or fashion. They just didn't allow the word of God, the seed, to really get into the soil and germinate. But the church at Thessalonica did. The Bereans, again, as he says about the Bereans, is that they had received the word of God that was delivered unto them. It says that in verse 11, these were more noble. They were even more noble than those in Thessalonica. And certainly, as I just spoke of, the Thessalonians had done well with the word of God. These folks in Berea, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They had received the word, again, a receptive heart. You know, being noble, the definition of noble is having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles and ideals. So these folks were described as being noble. They were more noble. They just simply received it. Now, as we'll see in a few moments, that they didn't just receive it blindly. They didn't just take it and swallow everything without even giving it thought. They didn't do that blindly, but they saw through the teaching and through the preaching of the Apostle Paul how Jesus Christ was truly the one who was sent by God. By God the Father. They had a spirit about them that as they listened, and no doubt they had searched those scriptures. They had searched many of the Old Testament scriptures to see if these things were so, that he was the one who would suffer for our sins that we might be saved. And they followed through and they saw all of that. Again, they didn't just believe blindly. You know that Paul clearly showed them out of the Old Testament those prophecies. And no doubt there were some Jews that got saved, just like in Thessalonica. But overwhelmingly, those who got saved were Gentiles, way beyond the number of the Jews that had gotten saved. Verse 12 says, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Yet the bottom line that brought these souls to Christ was the fact that their hearts, again, were receptive, just as ours were when we trusted Christ. You know, when we came to trust Christ as our Savior, our hearts were in a certain position. They were humbled. We recognized the fact that we were lost. And God had revealed something to us. He had shined a light in our hearts. The Spirit of God brought us under conviction, and we recognized that we were away from God. The Bible says that we were at enmity with God. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 2, that there was a wall between us, and that wall was sin. And we're dealing with a holy God. But that holy God sent His Son to bear our reproach. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He became a curse in our place. The one who had never sinned. This is God the Son, who lived a perfect life, and He goes to the cross and He takes all of the sins of the world upon Him. What a wonderful thing that Christ would do that. That He would give His life for us. And that when we got saved, boy, it made an impact in my heart. The fact that I knew, I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew after I got saved that I was different. I mean, I didn't even know really what justification was and really what redemption was and all of those things. I just knew I belonged to God now. I just knew I'm forgiven and I'm part of God's family. And it just began to grow from there. Do you remember those wonderful days? And our hearts were, our hearts were just so receptive, and we were so grateful for what God had done in our hearts and in our lives. I love what it says that in Colossians chapter 2, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, just as how you received Him, it says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That means we came to the Lord, we were humbled, we recognized we were on our way to hell, we recognized that we were apart, there was a separation between us and God, and when we got saved, we were humbled, we were thankful for what He had done, and so the Bible says, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, now walk that same way. Be humble every day. You know, sometimes things get old, don't they? You know, we have a new house or a new car, and we're just all about it, you know, and we just like to show it off. Hey, have you seen my new car, you know? And, you know, wow, yeah. But then after a year or so, maybe not even that long, it just begins to be old hat. And look at that old, you know, wreck out there. I got to get another one. Or, you know, our house, it just starts getting old. Everything gets old. Folks, our salvation should never get old. But boy, we have a nature inside of us that just starts to take things for granted. And it just starts to, yeah, I'm saved. I mean, I've talked to people at doors. I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they'll say, yeah, I know Him. And you know you're on your way to heaven? Yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. Kind of like, could you finish with your spiel so I can go watch my, you know, Bucks-Dolphins game? You know, I mean, I think, wow, I wonder if that person's really saved. Now, listen, I know I've taken it for granted, and I've, I can get a little mechanical about it, but, boy, I want to guard against that. And I'll come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, because I think I'm just getting a little too taking it for granted. I'm in that category. I don't want to ever do that, Lord. Help me not to do that. And, you know, we come to the Lord with that kind of a spirit. God will work on our hearts, and He'll just begin to break that crusty shell on our hearts. And some tears will come back as we remember how You saved me, Lord, and You love me. And I was blinded, and You opened up, and You revealed Christ to me, and how you love me, and how I could have eternal life. It's good to replay those things in our minds, folks. It's good for us to just come before the Lord and look unto Him for what He has done. And so these folks, they had a receptive heart, and may we have a receptive heart to the Word of God. And then, secondly, there was a readiness of mind. There in verse 11, again, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word, they received it, but they received it with all readiness of mind. With all readiness of mind. And the definition of readiness is the state of being fully prepared for something. To be fully prepared for something. You know, we had the opportunity... now it's been, month and a half when we got away on our anniversary, and we went down to San Antonio. We had a great time. We just we got to see all kinds of things, and we enjoyed them. But one of the things that we did, we went to Six Flags over Texas. And we didn't really stay there really long. It's like we're looking at each other. What do we think? We're a couple of teenagers. Let's go back to the hotel and take a nap. That's what we ended up. I want to go on the nap ride. My wife has always said, you know, they should put some nap booths at these amusement parks. I think they would do well. And I said, I think so. I think those, you know, all the grandpas walking around go like, you know where you'll find me? Right over there on that ride. The NAP ride. And so, you know, we went on some roller coasters, and we went on one that, you know, I don't know, it's called the Iron, I can't remember the rest of the Iron Rustler or something like that. But anyway, it was like, oh, okay, where does it say? Is this extreme or what? It wasn't quite extreme, but it was close to. And I think it really was extreme after the ride was over, okay? I don't think that they really sufficiently described that ride. But we got on that ride, and I just, you know, anytime they harness you, you know, they put the harness over you, and then they strap a seatbelt on you, and then they hand you a helmet, and then, you know, you start thinking, okay, wait a second, this isn't like just a walk in the park here, but I'm always ready, and I mean, I'm like, I have to act cool. You know, my wife's like, are you afraid? Afraid. Am I ever afraid, hon? But I'm like gripping that, you know, I'm gripping those bars so tight. You talk about a white knuckle ride, and it takes a lot to make these knuckles white, okay? But I mean, I'm just holding on for dear life and trying to smile and act nonchalant. But you know what? I'm ready when that ride comes. I mean, when I'm in there and strapped and ready to go, well, listen, that's how these folks were as far as how they were described that listened to the Apostle Paul as he brought forth God's word. They had a readiness of mind. It was just something that seemed to be prevailing in that whole congregation. At least that's how the whole congregation is described, that they had a readiness of mind. And that's a good thing. Again, now, I will say this. Sometimes, as a parent, there is a downside to this. And, you know, that's when you make the mistake of telling your children, like, a week in advance that you're going to be going to Disneyland in another week. And then, you know, then you're just like, that's the worst thing you could have ever done, because they will just harass you for the whole week, you know, because they're ready to go right now. So you never tell four-year-old, we're going to go, you know, to Baskin-Robbins. If you're going to do it like in the next minute, yes. But if you're going to do it like later on the day, you don't tell them that, right, Roxanne? We know that. We've learned these things. We've been around the block a few times. And so you don't do those foolish things. But it seems to me that there's a great inconsistency, though, in people's lives today when it comes to this issue of readiness, just from what I've noticed. And listen, and again, I'm not saying I've got my hands all over this. But you know what? I just don't see people really preparing, and it could be in a whole number of areas. Now, certainly, it's not true of everyone. There are some of you that are very, very good at very proactive, and you know something's got to be taken care of, and you prepare for it. And there's a certain amount of people in that category, probably not the higher percentage. Most of us are procrastinators. Right? Do we have any procrastinators out in the crowd? Okay, a few hands are raised. Now more hands are raised. Some of you are like, oh, I guess it's okay to raise my hand now. Some of you are like, well, I would have, but I wasn't ready to raise my hand. But sometimes it just seems to be, you know, just not even preparing, but sometimes it seems to be on frivolous matters, the things that hardly add up to anything, you know, that people will, you know, get themselves ready. I mean, sometimes it's even just things that they're going to watch, you know, on TV. I got to make sure to DVR that thing. I got to record it. And some people are all over that. Some people are all over how many carbs, you know, that they can digest or that they can consume as far as part of their diets, you know. Sometimes it's just trivial things. And people are just all over it. I've been around people and they're just like, you know, all of a sudden I look at their phone, they just said, I've just taken 12,000 steps today. And I'm like, hey, that's great. Well, have I told you I just had a double Whopper with cheese at Burger King? And they're looking at me like, I think that was the better choice. What was I thinking, taking all those steps? Sometimes people are just consumed, really, about things that really don't really make a whole beans, as the old phrase was put, things that don't really matter. But yet, over and over, God warns us to be a ready people. If you would just look that word up about being ready, you'll see a lot of times when the word ready is forth. And God wants us to be ready. To do otherwise, folks, is spiritually slothful and lazy when we're not spiritually ready for things. He warned Israel through Amos the prophet in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Be prepared. One of these days you will face God and be prepared. And then again in Psalm 95 and verses 7 and 8, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. That was through that wilderness journey when they resisted God and they didn't trust him and they had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. It says, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So he warns them, don't harden your heart. Be prepared. Make sure that your heart is right before the Lord. The Lord commands us to keep a spiritual focus and awareness to the things of God. You know, if we begin to become negligent, that is our bad. That is on us. We have just chosen to be consumed with distractions aplenty. And there are many, many distractions for us. As Americans, this is probably at the zenith as far as the height of distractions that ever was. I don't think I'm overstating that, because we just get distracted just by these iPhones that we have. I mean, everywhere you go, you can't go anywhere. If you're in a crowd, first of all, you're in a crowd, you're going to just see people on their phone, or they're looking at their phone, right? I mean, they're just hunched over like that. This is why a good time, if you want to choose a good profession, become a chiropractor, because there's people like this looking at their phones all day. They're going to have some back problems, I'm telling you. And you're going to be able to, you know, what's it called when you adjust? Yeah, you're going to be able to adjust a whole lot of people just because of the cell phones. And so people are just distracted to the hilt, especially today. And I'll put myself in it as well. We're distracted by some of the things that really don't matter a whole lot. But God does matter a whole lot. And we need to put him as our priority. And to achieve that, folks, it takes discipline. That's why the Lord tells us to the things that we're to put on our mind. First of all, he says, you know, to pray without ceasing. And somebody says, well, who can really do that? Did God really mean that? Well, God knows that none one of us are going to be able to achieve that, but that's the thing to shoot for. That's why he sets the bar there. The Lord doesn't say, well, you know, 6% of the time I want you to pray without ceasing. That just sounds dumb, doesn't it? I wouldn't do that. God says, pray without ceasing. I want you to, as much as you can, think about me and pray. And then we're to put our mind on him in so many other ways. And I brought that out in meditation and Bible memorization, to have the word of God in our hearts. And as we quote that, then we're told to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in our heart. The Bible says that we're to, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, things are of a good report, think on these things. There's a lot of things that will keep perfect peace whose mind is on thee. And so if we have a little bit of a routine, not a rut, but a good routine of, all right, I'm going to memorize that. There's some hymns I'm going to sing to the Lord. I'm going to memorize some verses. I'm going to spend time just talking to the Lord as I'm driving along the road here. And so we determine that we're going to think about him. And when we do that, then that takes discipline. And having a ready mind goes with all of that. Let's work at staying ready in the things of God. Because God uses ready people. It says in First Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Listen, that opportunity opens up for us and we see a door open. Are we ready to jump on that and say, hey, can I give you a track? And I heard what you were just saying. Can I tell you something? Can I just say a few words? And we're ready. Amen. Listen, we all drop the ball. I know that personally. But listen, if we're more of a ready mind, then we'll be there when the Lord has an opportunity and we'll be able to be successful. Amen. Yes, and that's a good thing. So not only did they have this readiness of mind and then, of course, the receptive heart, but they also had what I call a researchful spirit. See the three R's? All right. A researchful. That's about the best word that I could come up. They were researching. They were looking. They searched the scriptures daily, as it says here in verse 11. It says that with all readiness of mind. And then it says this third thing. And they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So they researched. Again, the definition of research or researchful of a person, it means dedicated or devoted to research. Tending to do a lot of research. That means studying things out. That means trying to figure, get to the, turn over every stone and get to the bottom of things and figure out what the truth is. Here's another reason why they're described as being noble. They just didn't accept things as being completely valid when it was spoken. They wanted to make sure by looking at those Old Testament scriptures that what Paul was saying was so. That what he was saying was true. So they had they wanted to search things out. They searched the scriptures daily. Have you ever met somebody that just accepted everything? That's called being gullible, right? Like somebody that says, well, it has to be true. I got it off the internet. We've heard that a time or two. And sometimes we just hear somebody say something, we think that's just gospel right there. And we don't even really search this thing out. Anybody ever, fallen into that one? Maybe had even a tendency to do that? I think we all have. Somebody says something confidently enough. Adolf Hitler told lie after lie after lie, but he said it so confidently that people believed him. And sometimes we have some, government leaders that do the same thing. They just keep saying it. And then some of the media does the same thing. They say the same thing over and over. And people go, oh, that must be true because I've heard it on different channels. Well, be careful what channels you're watching. And be careful what they're saying and search it out, because I think a lot of Americans don't search things out. I don't think we have a group like that here, but we could fall into that trap. And it's important for us that we would really search and find the meaning of things. Listen, again, we've all been duped at one point or another, but it's just good to know, again, that familiar saying, fool me once, shame on you, and fool me twice, shame on me. It's good for us to have some experience and go, okay, I'm not falling for that one again, because we have that tendency. It's not a good thing to live in the land of obliviousness. It's just not good. I heard this blonde joke, if you're blonde, all right, it's just a joke. Okay? But why did the blonde get so excited about finishing the jigsaw puzzle in 6 months? Because the box said it was for 2 to 4 years. Quite an accomplishment. But listen, we all can be so oblivious, amen? I mean, we can be oblivious to things. These Bereans had researched things out. They were resourceful, and they definitely didn't leave any stone unturned. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2 is a great verse, and it says this. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. God likes to conceal things and hide things. But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. He says it's the glory of a king who will search out the matter and turn over every stone, ask every question that needs to be asked, and figure out what's at the bottom of all of this. That's just pleasing unto the Lord. That's the way the Lord designed it. And for us to form a conclusion before we know all the facts is foolishness, and Proverbs is full of that we don't go down that road. So listen, you hear something about somebody, you listen to it, okay, I know this person's trustworthy, but I still got to follow this trail, figure out all the facts, everything that happened, so we could get to the bottom of this. Amen? I mean, we all have to deal with that. Some of you might have to deal with that on a business level. Some of you might have to do that just at home. You know, one kid, you know, I mean, you got one kid coming to you crying, and the other one, you know, kind of standing there like with his shoulders all hunched, and you're like, what did you do to him? Well, you didn't realize what the little dirty little rat crier did to the other kid. We can jump to conclusions. We know that, right? So listen, it's important for us, and even in the church, that I have to look to the Lord for wisdom to be a good researcher, to try to avail myself of all of the resources that I have to try to figure out if there's some kind of a problem. It's a good thing for me to do. Wouldn't you think so? I mean, you'd think, what would you think of me if somebody said, well, so-and-so said this. Oh, okay. Well, let's just church them tomorrow. Let's get them out of here. It's foolish. You know, we delve into these things. We do our due diligence. And it's important that we do that because that's what God expects of us. And again, that's what the Berean church had done. They had researched things out. They went to the scriptures themselves to see if all that was said truly did line up. All right? They weren't lazy because really, when it comes right down to it, when we don't do all the other things we're supposed to do, you can just chalk that up to the category of lazy. Because we don't really want to put in the hard yards. We don't really want to figure this thing out. Oh, it's too much work. Oh, it's too many meetings. Oh, I have to get with this person, then with that person. Now, I'm just going to make this decision right now. Well, God's not pleased with that at all. God wants us to get to the bottom of things. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 15, and it says an awful lot about sluggards and the slothful. And it says, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, and it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. He can't even get to his mouth. He's so lazy. I mean, that is such a, what's the word I want? I mean, just an exaggerated illustration. But it proves a point that, you know, if we're lazy, we just don't want to go all of that, do all of that work, go all of that measure of effort to get to the bottom of this, because it's just so much easier to just call it right now. And I think this is just a good point for us to just dwell on for a minute, because you know what? I don't believe that God's pleased with us when we take shortcuts. When we're on the job and we're working for an employer and he is paying us for 8 hours of work, we ought to give him 8 hours of work. In fact, really, as a believer, we ought to even go beyond that. You're like, ooh, that was a cold chill that just came over the congregation, right? No, it's just good. The Bible talks about how we're to go the extra mile, that we're to even go beyond what the world even would come up with. But I mean, at least we should give them 8 hours. It wouldn't be good if we're off over here doing something else when we should be working. And so, you know, God is not pleased with that when we're taking shortcuts. May we do the right thing. May we put in the hard yards. So this group of believers, they weren't suspicious people, but they were thorough people, and they searched things out. They were eager to do the right thing. May we have that quality about us, that we want to do the right thing, that we want to be in the Word of God. They did things fully and completely. And again, may that be what describes you and I here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. Might we learn to be like these Berean believers, studying the Word of God. May it be said about us, as it was said about them, that they had a receptive heart. As it says, I'll just read verse 11 over again. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word. They received the Word. Do we receive the Word of God? We certainly did when we got saved, about what was spoken to us, about what Christ did for us. But have we continued along in that same fashion, in that same manner? Do we have a receptive heart to the things of God? When God speaks to us, does it get a hold of us? I just read through This would have been in Chronicles here when I was reading about Josiah. And Josiah, they had stumbled across some of the priests, some of his men had stumbled across some remnants of some scripture, some scrolls. And they brought it to him, and there was some judgment there. And when Josiah read it, it said that it just rended his heart. And it so got a hold of him, he says, wow, we are way in trouble with the Lord. Look where we're at. And he got his heart was right as a young king. And God used him in a great way. But do we have that kind of a heart where we are receptive when God speaks to us from his word so that we want to respond, Lord, I'm not doing that, but I want to do that. Help me to do that. I'm going to make efforts to do that. So we have a receptive heart. It's just good to ask ourselves that question. And then with all readiness of mind, do we take it to the level where, Lord, I want your word to be in my heart, and I want to be ready as a ready servant, as a ready steward to be useful for you. I want to be on my game, you know. I want to be on my toes and not on my heels. You teach that to athletes when they're playing basketball or in any kind of sport. You want them to be ready and not to just get complacent, because we can become complacent and lazy. And boy, you better be ready. I watched Ethan last night on those motorcycles, and boy, is there any time when you can just slough off and just kind of relax? I don't think so. And just watching, it's like every second he's riding, going over those hills, it's like, you'll never get me out there, ever. And I'm just watching the focus factor has got to be 100%. Because you take your mind off of it for a moment, you're toast, right? And so really, that's just a good application for us as believers, is to be ready. Lord, help my mind to be ready. Is there an opportunity here that I don't want to miss? Help me to have my mind on the things of God rather than to always be distracted. May we not be that way. And so being readiness of mind and then searching the scriptures daily. Boy, it's just good to search these things out. When I preach a message, I don't want you to just go away, I heard this and this. Well, it's good for you to go into the Word of God. It's good for you to take some of these verses I throw out and write them down. Okay, he said Psalm, 120 and verse 7. I'm going to read that later. He also said it's good to take notes. You know, I mean, I have this old notebook that goes back to 1977, mostly it's 78 when I went to Charity Baptist Church. And I'm not trying to put myself up. That's just what I wanted to do. I was listening to my pastor, David Woods, and I have all of these old notes of all the messages and just tried to, and you know, and I could go back to them and read them, and I did that, and it just was so profitable for me. And it's just good to take notes. It's just good to write verses down and go back to them, because in the reading of those verses with our hearts in the right way, in a right manner before God, God can really impress something into our hearts, and he can impact us, and it can really just put some impetus in our Christian life where we just go, oh, that verse just got a hold of me. I see where I'm lacking, and Lord, thank you for showing me that. But that's because we put ourselves into this word, and we search it out, and we're great researchers of the Word of God, and God does something with it. Boy, let's just never take this, let's never underestimate this or take it for granted, because this is the living Word of God, and it's the sword of the Spirit. And if we'll come to it with a right heart, boy, I've had this book as I've been reading, just and the tears just start to come down, and I just say, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for working through the Word here and doing something in my heart. Yeah, there's times I just read through it and I get through it. Maybe sometimes you do the same and we go off and run off, but I don't really want it to be that. That's the normal. I want God to be speaking to me when I read his word. And if we'll just be quiet before the Lord, you know, what's that verse, Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And if we'll just get into the word of God and just say, Lord, I'll just take my time here and read it, and would you speak to me? Boy, if we mean that, God will speak to you, and he'll pull some things out of those pages. And usually he just pulls what you need for that day, or maybe what you need for the next week, and it just comes out, and you just go, thank you, Lord, thank you. And it's your daily bread, and it gives you the strength that you need. So be in this word, and let's be like the Berean church, amen? let's have that receptive heart, that readiness of mind, and a researchful spirit about the Word of God. With that, I'm going to have you bow your heads. And with your eyes closed, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, and in a spirit of prayer. And we've got a piano player coming, and we'll be singing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. But maybe God's spoken to your heart today. Maybe you'd say, Brother Garcia, would you pray for me? And God certainly spoke to my heart in regard to the Word of God. Yes, God bless you. There's already some hands up, you know, about I'm not to that level. And sometimes I get distracted. Sometimes I take for granted the Word of God. Listen, we all do. I know that. But maybe God spoke to your heart specifically about maybe having a greater love for the Word of God. Maybe searching things out. Maybe having a receptive heart to knowing this is the Word of God I'm hearing. I know this is the Word of God, and I just want to receive it and not always buck at it, because sometimes we do that and we resist it. Maybe that's what God's spoken to your heart about. If that's the case, maybe you just raise your hand and say, Brother Garcia, just pray for me. That's where I'm at. God bless you. There's a number of hands that are raised. And at some point, again, we all get there. But let me ask you this question. Maybe you're here today. You couldn't raise your hand in regard to that particular question. But maybe you're here today. You just don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You don't know for sure if you died that you're going to be in heaven with the Lord. Not that you don't believe in God. Maybe that you don't even believe about the things of Christ. But there was never a time when you came to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that takes place when we recognize that we're sinners. And that we're sinners before a holy God. That means we're sinners on our way to hell. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. One of these days we're going to die. We don't like to think of that thought, but it's just true. Every one of us ages, and one of these days we're going to die. The Bible says that we're sinners. The Bible says, though, that there wasn't anything that we could do about paying for the price of our sins. There's nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do. All of the good works won't get you to heaven because you still have sin. But the Bible says that somebody paid a price for your sins. And that someone was Jesus Christ. God the Son paid a price that you and I couldn't pay. He died in our place. What a wonderful thing that he did that. But he died for your sins. He was buried and rose again from the grave. The Bible says that if we'll confess him with our mouth, believe on him with our hearts, believe the fact that he was risen again from the grave, the Bible says that we can have eternal life. It says that in Romans chapter 10, that if we'll confess with our mouth, believe in our hearts, folks, we can have eternal life. The Bible says that if we'll call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. So if you're willing to believe that Christ died for you and that you could have eternal life, the Bible says if you'll just receive him as your Savior with a heart of repentance, if you'll trust Christ, you can be saved. And maybe there's somebody here today. And I'll ask that question. Are you here today? You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. You'd say, Brother Garcia, would you please pray for me? Is there anybody like that? You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven, because we want you to have that opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. With that, let's pray. Father, we come to you today. Thank you again for your goodness and your kindness to us. Thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this great example of believers that receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and they search the Scriptures daily whether these things were so or not. Lord, we thank you that you allowed this account to be put into the Bible, that we could see that we could want to become more like the Berean church, that we might want to be like these folks who did that. May we have that same kind of a heart toward the Word of God. Help us to never become complacent to these things. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you gave us a perfect book that we can study it and read it. And Lord, I pray for anybody here that may not know you as Savior, that you work in their hearts and bring them to Christ. Lord, we thank you. We pray that we'll respond in a manner that's pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.